You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today on the Zabecast, who knew that a 1981 Burt Reynolds movie would be in the news today? But hey, look at that. A new Cannonball Run record has been set, but should it count? Church is with me, and we've got a lot to cover, from Goodell's basement draft podium to Dak's possibly illegal party, and of course, Easter candy versus Halloween candy. All that and more in your daily Kickstarter of Uncensored Me. It's Locked and Loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Monday, April 13th, 2020. Thank you for joining me.
Behold, Simi, life, real life, real a thing life. That we have been denied for far too long. Good morning, my neighbors!
Hey, fuck you!
Yes! Yes! Fuck you, too!
No, not real life. There it is, the uncensored version just for you here on the podcast from Coming to America. And I'm telling you, when we do get back to real life, people are going to get after it like crazy. They're going to be so eager to get up and go to work. They're going to have their clothes on early. They're going to be like, this is great. So there will be, I think, some positives out of this. Anyway, hope you had a great Easter. Quite the controversy in some parts of the country regarding Easter services about church congregations, drive-up, drive-through, type of services. I'm not going to get into it, but it is not good all around. Not America's finest moment, to say the least. Okay, speaking of church, I'm stealing this bit, if you don't mind.
Been working for Jesus a long time.
I'm not tired yet.
This is the Mississippi Mass Choir, and yes, it is the song that Scott Van Pelt famously uses to open his awesome Van Pelt Center late at night. And it's meant to say, yeah, it's one in the East, game's just finished, but I ain't tired. Let's look at the highlights.
Been standing for Jesus a long time.
I'm not tired yet.
I'm only stealing this bit because I love it, and it's how I feel right now about day 33 of No Sportsmageddon Apocalypse. I've got things I want to talk about. I'm eager to talk about. I'm not struggling for things to talk about right now. I'm sad that sports are down, obviously. I'm concerned for people's health. I'm concerned for the economy. I'm concerned for civil liberties. But I'm not tired. I got plenty of stuff to talk about.
I'm
I'm built for the long haul, baby, so let's do this. By the way, I've got to get myself to a genuine, bona fide Southern church like this. Is this a Baptist church? Whatever denomination. I mean, I want one where it is rocking and rolling and swaying and flowing. I want to feel the Spirit of Jesus through me. And I'm not even that religious per se, but I would love to go to one of these. It would be a hoot. All right, here's the story I want to lead with today, then we'll get to charge. The tradition of dangerous coast-to-coast driving record attempts goes back to the 1970s when one Cannonball Baker had a Sea to Shining Sea Memorial Trophy dash presented as a drunken, fraternizing party on loud, colorful wheels in the 1981 comedy Cannonball Run. A team of three anonymous people is believed to have taken the sport to the next level by using a relatively low-profile, unmarked family sedan, an Audi A8, and taking advantage of freeways emptied by the coronavirus. They shaved about an hour and 10 minutes off of the previous record of 27 hours, 25 minutes to go coast to coast from California to New York City. Alex Roy, the host of the No Parking podcast and 2006 transcontinental record holder, says the latest run, reported to have taken place on April 4th, but only was revealed in recent days, was irresponsible given the intent of stay-at-home orders across the country to stop the spread of coronavirus. Yeah, but they didn't leave their car except to refuel. These things are always irresponsible, said Roy, even in normal times. The consequences now are very different. If any other time, if one arrives safely, then no harm, no foul. In theory, morally questionable for sure. A run now brings with it the unknown. Did I touch a fuel pump? Did I transmit the virus? Please. Did I contribute to the problem in an immeasurable way? No. Once you enter into the zone of doing such a thing today, one can never know if you can say no harm, no foul. Okay, that's the politically correct thing to say. Atlanta car enthusiast Ed Bolian, who says he's seen documentation of the run and has therefore become the main source of news for the new record claim, says another asterisk, though, is perhaps warranted. No traffic? Is that fair? Said Bolian, it certainly counts. It's not as though they didn't do it. Does that remain the mark to beat for the future pursuit of cannonballing? Who knows? Bolian himself set the record in 2013 by breaching speeds of up to 158 miles per hour in a Mercedes-Benz CL55. He did say on his YouTube channel that the national shutdown would be the perfect time to go out and try to set a new Cannonball Run record, and somebody has done that. Speaking of Cannonball Run, this was the movie starring, you'll hear it, Burt Reynolds, Farrah Fawcett, Dom DeLuise, and more.
Don't tell me your name. I'll just call you Beauty.
You must be a sensitive person.
Great. Great lines, huh? Great dialogue.
I try to be.
And his best friend.
I am Captain Chaos. Been a cop long?
Right. And a family doctor.
Leash.
Come on right here.
And how they all set out one day in an ambulance from New York to California at 150 miles per hour.
California, here we come.
But they aren't the only ones.
The great thing about Cannonball Run is that it's 1981.
Grand Prix.
And so,
and it doesn't matter how you get there. It's who gets there first.
No CGI. All real stunts with real cars.
On his team, Farrah Fawcett.
Are you one of those volleyballers?
Cannonballs.
Dom DeLuise.
Farrah Fawcett in her prime.
And here comes the competition.
Will you hurry up, you little...
Dean Martin.
We happen to be in a race.
Dean
Sammy
Martin.
Davis Jr.
Sammy Davis.
Where'd you get all that jewelry?
Take a lift.
Mel Tillis and Terry Bradshaw.
Mel Tillis, Terry Bradshaw.
Jackie Chan.
They drove their car into a swimming pool. A real swimming pool.
Roger Moore.
And Roger Moore. James Bond of the day.
Reckless.
We're in kind of a hurry, so if you could just bless it and then we'll be done.
Unscrupulous.
Oh, I gotta bless her.
Oh, I'm sorry, Father. She's a Zen Buddhist.
You know, desperate characters.
Ready, fire!
By land, by sea.
They're in airplanes, they're on boats.
By air. They'll do anything, drive anything, say anything.
It's hard to understand you.
When I called you, I was doing 140 miles an hour.
And stop at nothing.
Normally, I drive right around the speed limit.
We all make mistakes, miss. But 160?
To win the Cannonball Run.
Yeah, we're looking good.
Come on, faster!
Cannonball Run. The only movie to get over 200 tickets before it even opens.
Anyway, they made a Cannonball Run, too, 1981 and 1984. And I want to go and watch the original movie. I would like to see the whole thing. I don't know where it resides. I think I saw the full movie on YouTube, but you might have to subscribe to YouTube for it. I also want to watch it on my big screen, so I got to make sure I've got that hooked up. Probably more trouble than it's worth. That said, I know a guy who is not more trouble than he is worth. You know him, you love him.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
I didn't get you in time. I gotta time that better somehow. Hey, how's it going, eh?
Hey,
I heard you got some snow up there in April, eh? Saw it on your social media, eh?
At this time yesterday, it was so warm here. It was 60 degrees, and I'm on my deck having... It was too warm for whiskey. I was having gin and tonics.
Too warm for whiskey. No such thing.
Too warm for whiskey. So now I'm 4 inches in deep. 4 inches of snow. It's ridiculous.
4 inches. Wow. An Easter sucker punch from old man winter. Just one more punch on the way out the door. That's called living in Minnesota, Church.
It really is. It happens every year, and it pisses me off every damn year. You think I'd be used to it by now, but no. Absolutely not.
Yeah. So I'd start with a simple, so how you hanging in there? But I'm going to be perfectly honest.
You don't care.
Well, I mean, I kind of care as long as everything's fine. And you're here talking to me on the podcast, so I'm assume things are fine. But I just don't want to talk about it. I'm actually quarantining from my friends right now. I'm not talking to pretty much any of them.
Can they tell the difference?
No, of course they could tell the difference. I think some of them are kind of miffed at me, and everyone is different in this regard, okay? Here's the reason why I'm not talking to them. I'm quarantining my own angst, anger, hostility, frustration, nervousness, everything else. If I call them, the conversation is going to turn to the obvious, the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. And not only do I not want to spread those negative things because I can't avoid them. But here's the other thing, Charge. Normally when you talk to your friends, you talk about what happened in the game last night, what thing you're looking forward to doing in a week or 2 weeks or a month, or just normal stupid shit. And all of that is off the table right now. And so therefore, the only thing to talk about is what I don't want to talk about. This whole situation. Angers up the blood like fried food does, so said Satchel Paige once upon a time.
The funny thing about that is, more often than not, let's say I take a phone call with a mutual friend of my wife and I, and I will chat for whatever, 20 minutes or something. We'll get done, and she will say, well, how's he doing? How's the family?
And
I will say, I don't know.
No.
I don't ask. I don't know. I mean, normally in a conversation with me and my friends, I'm not like, so Steve, how are you doing?
how are Junior's grades? What's going on? Does she have a boyfriend? Those are not man things to talk about. If there's something that is of significance, like, hey, you know what? My daughter got her first dick pics the other day. Oh my God, what'd you do? That's a guy thing to talk about. But just general stuff, we don't. I would get this all the time playing golf, where I'd play golf with a friend and my wife would say, oh, how is Chip? How's he doing? And I'd say, fine. And she'd be like, oh, what's his wife doing? What the kids? I go, you know what? We didn't talk about it. And she looks at me like, you were on the golf course with him for four hours,
right?
And I simply say, well, never came up. I'm like, funny how it never came up. Now, what did you talk about? I'm like, I don't know. Good shot, bad shot, what the conditions of the greens are, scores in a baseball game. Who knows? Just guy shit. Small stuff.
Guy shit. Yes. Not how you know what? If here's the thing. If you and I are on the golf course for 4 or 5 hours, if there's something important for me to know, like you've got cancer, you'll tell me.
Jesus
It'll come
Christ.
Up. You'll mention it.
On the golf course, first time?
Well,
what hole should you bring up your cancer diagnosis, Church? Is that a front nine or a back nine kind of a thing?
That's the diversion from the quadruple bogey is what that is. That's the diversion from the eight, the snowman.
Church, you know, Church, I got to tell you, if I was playing golf with you and you were my friend and you hit me with a cancer diagnosis during the round, I'd say, well, you don't have to worry about the cancer. Why not? Because I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, this is no way to whammy a friend. You know what
okay.
I mean?
All right. Well, let's back it off of cancer and just go herpes.
Not much better.
I don't think I have a hole. I don't think I'm the first hole in the tee box. I have an obligation to mention my recent herpes diagnosis.
Hey, Church, that's a nice drive there. By the way, I got herpes. That's kind of sucks. Gonna be with me for life. I knew I shouldn't have fucked that Puerto Rican hooker. God, was that a mistake?
I think you could bring that up any time over the course of 18 holes.
Yeah,
I think
it's one of those things where I don't want to talk about what do you think, best case, worst case, what's going to happen, blah blah blah, theory this, theory that. I know a friend. Yeah, I do too. Ah, it's a bit much right now. Now, I'm not starving for things to talk about in sports. I said that before you came on. It's just so sad to be without sports. It feels like we're now at the part of Castaway where we've crashed through the waves with Wilson on board the makeshift little sailboat, and we're now out on the open ocean, and the days are getting more and more melted together, and
yes.
It's just feeling weirder and weirder because this is the longest any of us have gone without sports in our life.
Oh, for sure. I mean, normally we have one day off a year, the day after All-Star break. That's it.
Right.
That's the one day without sports. You know, now here we are into whatever week 4, 5, that we're starting week 5, I believe.
Day 33 of no sports apocalypse Mageddon.
There we go. The NFL draft is coming around the bend, and that helps, right? So now we've got the draft. It's going to be incredibly popular. Everybody's going to watch it. It's going to be the most watched draft, not only for the fact that it's sports, it's the NFL, but also just to see how they're handling it. You know, I'm going to be watching Roger Goodell in his basement announcing picks. That's, you know, that's going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
But after that, Zabe, then what?
Then it's going to get really rough. Then May is going to be a real struggle. But you know what? We're going to find a way through it. And again, May 1st is going to look a lot different than right now, which is April 13th. June 1st is going to look even more different from May 1st. And I think the different is going to be an absolute better different. I don't know to what degree better, but I know that's the trend line.
Agreed. There was a time not that long ago that people were predicting 2 million American deaths. I mean, you know, so, you know, this is, you know, the scale and scope of this seems to be contracting at least somewhat. And the signs are at least somewhat positive. And as the more that happens, I think the more viability of having some kind of sports happening some way, real sports happening some way, it becomes viable again.
And with that, we will knock on wood.
We're done.
And then we're done. Exactly. Moving
done.
On. You had a tweet which was absolute genius. You talked about how with nobody going nowhere these days, you went and called your car insurance company and dialed your insurance down to damn near zero, and you expect to save nearly $300 this month?
Well, it turns out it's not a month. That's what I'm paying. It turns out I thought like, it was a
first
month.
First of all, like, how much are you paying for insurance? How many accidents have you been in?
When you've got seven DUIs and you own two Maseratis, as it turns out, my savings is going to be about $300 per half year, so it'll be about $600 for the year, but it's still significant. And so
$300. Do you know you're not going to drive for 6 months? I think that's not going to be the case.
I can turn it back on whenever I want. So, you know, my wife and I are gone.
So you won't save $300 because after 2 months, you're going to have to turn it back up to full volume.
Quite possibly, yes. Okay. So on a per month basis, it's, you know, down to like $70 or something. I don't know, $50. So $50. But nevertheless, it seems like it's worth it because there's never two cars gone at the same time.
Right.
I leave the house two times a week. That's it. So why do I have insurance?
So wait a minute. So you have two cars that are not yet paid off, two newer-ish cars?
No, they're paid off.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you drop? Collision?
I dropped everything down to comprehensive, which means that at least on one of the cars. So I've got one of the cars that says down to comprehensive, which is like $40 a year, and it's basically if the house burns down with a car in it, I'll get another car.
Well, you
that's
still
about
have
it.
You
or
still
if
have
it gets
to have
stolen.
You don't you still have to have liability in case you smash into somebody?
I don't, at least not in Minnesota, and I shouldn't be driving it. It's uninsured. It's against the law for me to drive it.
No way. So if you take your car out for a spin, you're totally naked insurance wise.
I am. I'm and totally naked,
and you're illegal too.
And I'm illegal now. That doesn't mean I wouldn't. Now, my wife's car, we're at normal coverage. And I think pretty much which is great. Pretty much every insurance company is giving massive rebates to everybody. Mine is State Farm. They're giving a 20% rebate.
Why?
Because nobody's driving.
Oh, no
way. You're going to get one too. You watch. Virtually everybody's doing it.
I better call my company and I don't even know who do I have. Let me look at my wallet here. I never use them. It's like paying for insurance easy, collecting on insurance,
oh god, tell me about it.
it's a lot harder.
Unbelievable. Yeah, Zabe, I had a series. You were in the basement of my old house, the
yes.
lower level of my old house. We were built in a very wet area, and I had a basement flood in the first year I was there.
Oh, God.
when my sump pump didn't turn on.
And I'll do it.
Uncovered because I did not have the sump pump rider. So then I go pay extra to get the sump pump rider. A couple years later, floods again. I've got the sump pump rider, but the power had gone out. And
you need a backup battery generator.
I didn't have the backup battery generator, and because the power was out and the water came in from the outside, they didn't cover that either. So I had to go
Where else would the water? Well, I guess a burst pipe was what you had insurance for.
Maybe. I don't know. And then I managed to flood another time, and it was not able to collect in that one either, just because the scale of it wasn't enough for my deductible. So yeah, the insurance companies, it's so hard to get paid.
Yeah, that is tough. I have two sump pumps, and I've got a battery backup.
Awesome.
Not fucking
around.
Now,
do you have two separate pumps or two pumps in the same basin?
Ooh, that's a good question. I got to go think about that.
One basin or two?
I think it's one basin because although we didn't have it built, we didn't have the basement built with two basins. As much as I love basements, Charge, I'm ready to go back to how it was in North Carolina, where they don't build basements. They just don't.
They don't have them. No, I don't know why, but the South doesn't have basements.
Right, because the water table down there with the sand-based soil. But certain sloped houses might have a lower level that walks out, but otherwise they don't do basements.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, your next home, you might be in a condo next. Who knows? I mean, your kids are getting out of the house. You could be in some urban condo with bustling people. Who knows? You can go the exact opposite of the 10 acres you've got right now in the dueling football fields.
I got to tell you, Charge, I mowed this weekend, And this is the time of year, April, in which the grass is at its most glorious. The fewest amount of weeds. It is just popped. It is resplendently green. It's all grass. It looks beautiful. It won't last, though. It's got until early June at the latest before it starts to go south.
And then why? It's just because why would it go south then? Does it get burned up? Yeah. What? I don't understand.
Heat, humidity, weeds. It just, your lawn just doesn't look as uniform. It's not as good. I mean, your lawn can, if you've got a smaller lawn that you really treat with sprinklers and chemicals. I've got property, so my 10 acres, which is field grass that's just cut down to 3.5 inches, it doesn't look better than it does right now. It is glorious now, but man, I speaking of saving money, I pulled my own weeds today. And I had vowed not to do that anymore. It's such a pain in the ass. It's so miserable.
Over 10 acres? You're on hands and knees pulling weeds?
No, around the mulch beds, around the house.
Okay, all right.
And so I've kind of let it go just a bit. But here's the thing. I figured out if I could break it up into 7 zones, I could spend no more than 20 minutes or no more than a half an hour in each zone. So for this next week, I'm going to go half an hour a day. Just half an hour. I'm not going to rush to do an hour and a half of weeding and get exhausted. I'm going to do half an hour. I'm going to do one zone and quit. And then by the end of 7 days, I will have cleaned all the beds around my house. And then if I go on a regular daily patrol of 5 minutes, I can pluck 1, 2, 3, 4 weeds and be done. But that's the sort of militants you need on them. I just don't feel like paying for landscaping right now. Just like you don't feel like paying for car insurance. Everybody's scrimping right now, except for my members of the Zabecast. Please don't scrimp with the $5 a month. Thank you very much. Ding, 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 ding. Okay. I understand how that is. Everyone's scrimping right now. All right.
Everybody is.
Everybody is.
By the way, speaking of home projects, if I can for just a second.
Yes.
We repainted our entire main level.
Oh, fun.
And I've learned. I want to pass along a couple of valuable tips that I've always been a horrible painter. I finally got it mostly right this time.
All right. Painting tips. Tip That's number right. one: pay number a one. Professional. No, just kidding. That's my tip number one.
That's right. Which is what I've always done every time until now. But we figured we're stuck in the house. But this is the perfect time to do it. So we decided to try it. And we went over to Sherwin-Williams, got our paint. They said they've never been busier in the history of the company. So I think there are a lot of people doing this right now, a lot of people doing their home projects. Tip number one, have my wife do all the taping.
Okay.
I hate the taping. This is the key thing about the taping. If my wife's not available to help you, don't get the blue tape. Get the green tape. The blue tape's what everybody uses, and it's terrible. The green tape is awesome.
Frog tape, I believe, is what they call the green tape.
I believe you're right. I think it is frog tape. Get the green tape. Number two, spend the extra 20% on good paint. The good paint goes on smoothly and makes up for the difference of your inability to paint. That's huge. And then
There's ability in painting?
There is ability in painting. And the last thing is this. I was roller guy. She was edges and she was taping in edges. I was roller guy. The whole thing with the roller, Zabe, is your only job is to smooth out the paint so that it is perfectly flat. That is the whole point. It should not be called a roller. It should be called a smoother. You are not applying paint. You are just really smoothing the paint out across the whole thing so that there are no defects in it.
All right, but at some point, you have to apply the paint with the roller. It doesn't jump. It doesn't jump on the ceiling or the walls by itself.
Correct. So you put it on the roller, and then from that point on, all you're doing is smoothing it out, and you're trying to get it so that it is perfectly smooth on the wall. No runs, no edging, no drips, no errors.
Johnny Bench for Krylon paint back in the day.
I remember it well. There you go.
Well, and of course, but then you got the cloth, and you got the drop cloth, and you got the other stuff, and the furniture moving around, and then you got to make sure to not kick over the bucket or step in the tray or get drip, and you get, it's sweaty. You start sweating like crazy. It's all, God bless you for doing it.
And it's hard work. It is hard work. When you're the roller filled with high quality, heavy paint, the roller's like 4 pounds, 5 pounds. And it's in your arm for 2, 3, 4 hours at a crack. That takes time.
Sure.
It hurt. That's a workout. Or at least our version of workout. Here's the thing you don't want to do. Turn around and then sort of accidentally back into one of the wet walls.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah.
Did you do
that? Take it from me. Okay. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. And then, of course, if you're really trying to do something fancy where you're taping off lines to do a bottom third one color, separating line, then something else, then it's even more involved.
Correct. Now it's now you've upped the ante significantly at that point.
Yeah. And then, of course, the cleanup, you got to get the paint thinner and you got to wash the brushes. You got to dump the stuff out. But when you're done and you then take away all the drop cloths, you put all the furniture back, I bet you stand in the middle of that room and you smell that little faint whiff of paint and you look at the walls and say, goddamn right, we just did that. High five, honey.
That's what we did. We're looking at this going, the place looks great. This is fantastic. It was very, very exciting.
Dare I ask, what colors? Do you know the actual colors? They all come in these stupid ass names.
No, they are.
Such as like goose feather white and olive drab. Well, that's probably not a good color.
That probably isn't a good color. Olive drab. No, that's ours. It was something beige, which sounds so boring, right? It was something like, I don't know, sand dune beige. It was, yeah.
But, how about Irish cream or sensuous gray?
They would do that.
Fawn brindle is a name of a color. I'm looking at Sherwin-Williams paint colors.
When we moved in, the people that owned the house before us had basically green walls. So, we had to, it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah. I think one of the colors is called broke homeowner. Resolute blue. I'm on their Sherwin-Williams. Languid blue. I'm in the blues right now. Gray's Harbor. Aleutian. Honey, does the Aleutian, which is Sherwin-Williams number, code number 6241, look good to you? Or would you prefer windy blue? Windy blue or Aleutian? Windy or Aleutian? Looks the same to me. Just put it on the wall.
Now, somebody makes a living naming those. I mean, there's got to be somebody job it is to come up with all those names.
You sure that's like Vince Croakneck, VP of paint names? You sure it's not just an intern or there's some algorithm that comes up with them? You know, if you're Sherwin-Williams, you're probably like, we're not spending money on a guy just to think of dumb names. Just put it through the computer.
It has a random, it's got a random adjective at the end of a color name. And they're, so then they get, like coprophagus red or whatever. You got it. Probably shouldn't use coprophagus, but yes.
Oh boy. I don't even want to look that one up. That's a new word to me.
You should. Oh, really? You should look that up. Coprophagus brown would actually be more like the color you'd be painting with. But that's a different story.
Coprophagus. Oh, God, jeez. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Okay.
Well, where Sherwin-Williams they got to be smart. If you're just going to leave it up to the computer, you may end up putting coprophagus brown on the market for your paint. So you got to be careful.
So what's the other big paint makers? There's Sherwin-Williams.
Valspar.
Valspar is a big one. Who else?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if some people swear by their preferred paint. I'm sure they do. I'm sure people that paint a lot, do a lot of interior work, they're like, I don't use that Valspar shit. It's no good.
Right.
Gotta use the old Sherwin-Williams.
Yep.
All right.
No doubt.
Easter candy versus Halloween candy. Go.
Easter candy sucks. I mean, mostly it's you get the rabbit, and if you're like any normal person, the first thing you do is you bite the eyes out and scream, "Stop staring at me." I mean, that's what any normal person would do. Palimo Phillips for you there.
I think you're wrong. I think you're judging it on both the chocolate bunny, which is unimaginative.
It's so boring.
And on the the Easter peeps, which are to me, the peeps are the most disgusting thing since the circus peanut candy. That is another marshmallow-based candy.
Yes, the peep is now. I have a friend who claims that the proper way to eat the peep is to freeze the peep and then microwave the peep and then eat the peep.
What?
But that seems like a lot of work for what is still essentially just two forms of sugar.
Yeah.
In it, that are they're laying on top of each other. Marshmallow is just sugar, and then coated outside the marshmallow is sugar.
Yeah,
that's it.
I'm not about the peeps at all, but if you love the peeps, then go. That's fine. A lot of people hate candy corn as well.
Oh, I hate it. You and I have talked about this before. Yeah. It's the candy corn. It looks like it's three different flavors, but it's not. It's all just sugar. It all tastes just like sugar. It's a fraud. That's a fraud candy.
I will eat candy corn. I like it. I'm not going to say it's one of my favorites. Here's where I think Easter candy, though, is close the gap, Charge. They are coming up with hybrids of normal candy, such as my wife found, and this is dangerous, she found some Reese's Pieces eggs. It's a normal, it's a peanut butter inside only, like Reese's Pieces, but it's in a mega-sized egg. It's shaped like an egg, and it's got a thicker shell. Oh, it's like a mega Reese's Pieces. I love Reese's Pieces, by the way. They are one of my absolute favorites. This was a game changer of a candy. You also
Wait. Why is it different? Is it just the crunchier shell?
Yes.
I mean, it sounds like the same thing to me.
Yeah, 1 millimeter extra of shell and a larger dose of Reese's is unbelievable. It's so good. Plus, she got some special Easter egg flavored Junior Mints, which were great. Like, a lot of companies are still going, hey, we want to end on the Easter game. Like, we're just we're not going to give up the field to chocolate bunnies, peeps, and jelly beans. Oh, have you had Starburst jelly beans?
I was just going to go there. The Starburst jelly beans are unbelievably good.
Best
jelly bean ever.
Well, Jelly Bellies are.
Better than Jelly Belly.
No, I will not hear it.
Oh, God, yes.
No,
God,
no,
yes.
No, shut up. Have you had root beer Jelly Bellies?
Probably inadvertently, right? I mean, I don't like the mystery of the Jelly Belly at all. There's like half
it's
of them I don't
mystery.
Even, I would never want to
no,
eat.
No, you go buy the flavor in bulk at your own leisure. At the candy store. It's super expensive, but who the hell cares? Have you ever had toasted marshmallow Jelly Bellies?
Yeah, I don't care for that. Uh-huh. But we're back to it. It's a peep again. You're basically
having a peep again. It's not. It's the flavor of toasted marshmallow, but it's in a jelly bean form factor. How about, have you ever had maple syrup pancake jelly beans?
No. Oh, God, that sounds horrible.
What kind of jelly beans do you like then?
Starburst jelly beans, and by the way, new this season for this Easter, jumbo size.
I'm not sure I want jumbo.
I want more in my mouth.
Okay. I want more in my mouth, Charge.
If I want some Starburst jelly beans, I would like to have more Starburst jelly beans. Oh, I want the jumbo. I only learned this just now that they have the jumbo. I want this.
There's a lot of Easter. And plus, there is no Halloween equivalent of the Cadbury egg. Are you a fan of the Cadbury egg?
I haven't had one in 20 years. Now, it's got something goopy on the inside. And yes. I'm not saying that in a bad way, right? I mean, there's something runny on the inside.
It's kind of disgusting. It's like a jizz-filled egg, but it's candy jizz. It's sugary jizz. It's really creamy inside and delicious. They also have a caramel egg now. So if you
All right.
Where you been?
I haven't had one. I'm not a big candy eater, but okay. I did not know about this, although I knew plenty about the Starburst jelly beans. I can assure you.
All right, last thing for you, and then we'll wrap it up today. Have you seen the animal videos from around the world where all these exotic animals now, because of the lockdown, are now venturing into backyards, neighborhoods, downtown streets, and you're like, holy shit, what's going on? It's one of the great sort of oddball phenomenons because of this. I saw a whole herd of bighorn sheep in someone's yard in Las Vegas. And the joke was, hey, I thought the Raiders were moving to Vegas, not the Rams.
Wow.
And it was the bighorn sheep that were just like, well, there's no humans around, so let's go find something to eat. And they were noshing on somebody's boxwoods in their backyard.
What?
Incredible. Yes.
That's crazy.
There's videos of seals and sea lions just down the middle of streets. Look for it. Yes, look for it. Worldwide. Animals.
No way.
Yeah, of course they are. Animals have figured out, they're like, where are all these human assholes? Where's all the traffic? I don't know.
You know, that does that not kind of put us in our place? We're so transient. We're going to be gone, and you know, we'll be gone, and it'll go right back to society, the world will go right back to the animals. They're just waiting us out, Zabe.
You think so?
Yeah, they're just waiting.
You know, there still is, I think last I checked, 7 billion of us, and we are still, even though we are selfish and vain and destructive and manipulating and conniving, we are still the smartest animal on the planet. I hate to say it. I think we'll outlive them. But for now, they're having a field day, these animals, that's for sure. Anything else you want to add on the way out the door, my friend?
Seismologists. Similarly, seismologists are now able to record the planet. You know, they're able to record like seismic activity without having all of us screwing up the data.
And
because we're not driving, we're not moving, and so they're getting what is ultimately going to be like the control for all the seismic activity. The control data, when nobody was moving and no cars were on the streets and there was no human activity, they now have control numbers for all of us.
And have you seen the photos of downtown Los Angeles?
Unbelievable. Stunning. It's weird.
And of course, you know, the central planners of the People's Republic of California is going to look at this and they're going to come up with a cockamamie scheme to try to make Sundays no driving Sundays just for air quality. And we'll see how popular that is when this is all over.
They would there too. It's possible they'll do it for sure.
Charge.
You're the best.
You're the best, buddy. Thanks for your time. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right, let me end on this today. So apparently Dak Prescott had a birthday party with Zeke Elliott and some other friends, and it was a hell of a party during what should have been mandatory social distancing. And of course, the photos got out on social media, and of course, people made a big deal of it. And of course, Mike Florio, who else would, is now banging the drum on how irresponsible this is. And intimating, although I haven't read him, I just said this on Twitter. I said, so who's the first writer who's going to demand that Roger Goodell suspend Dak Prescott for violating social distancing? As if that was anywhere in the fucking CBA. And of course, Florio is already dancing around it and making a big deal of it. And you just say to yourself, what a woke bitch he is. I mean, seriously. Yeah, we need to find out from Dak. We need to hear from him. I don't want to hear from his agent. He better confess to this. It's almost like Florio has become the number one male Karen. We should just call him Karen Florio. Because what a snitch he is. And to think that he was formerly a lawyer. Oh, man. He had to have been a worse lawyer than Saul Goodman. In fact, I'm sure he was. Saul Goodman was just morally bankrupt and would do anything to get his, but he was a very good morally bankrupt attorney. Mike Florio must have been absolutely terrible. But okay, yeah, let's get to the bottom of that. The police apparently said they were unaware of any such party, to which Florio is like, unaware or unwilling to investigate. Yeah, the local police in Texas are going to forcibly break up or cop to or start an investigation into something to get the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys in trouble? Yeah, I don't think so. All right, that's enough for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for downloading. I'm just absolutely grateful as all get out that you guys are still downloading in strong, strong, as good as ever, basically, during this coronavirus lockdown, self-quarantine, whatever it is. Thanks to Charge for joining me today. Remember, you can subscribe to Get Friday. That means 5 days of me, not just four. It's 16 cents a day. And if you have to scrimp these days and cut me out, okay, fine. Otherwise, if you can support during this time, I do appreciate it. I'm making sure to support as many people as I can, tipping extra generous when I get takeout and more. Rate and review so our algorithmic overlords bless our crops and this podcast. Have a great Monday, and I will see you tomorrow.